T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Talking some hoops with him. What's up, Fedor? How are you?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Hey, Chris. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. I'm good. Enjoying the golf a little bit right now. Yeah. Staying inside in this terrible weather. So, yeah, I'm good.
How's your boy Tiger doing? Isn't he just starting now?
Yeah, he just started. His first putt was so good, but he left it just short, so it hung on the lip and didn't drop.
I'm going to blame you for that.
Yeah, please do.
I'm blaming you for it not dropping off the lip there. Anyway, Chris, let's get to this series. Obviously, there's been a lot of fascinating storylines here. The injuries have piled. It seems like the injury has been a big story almost every year in recent years in the NBA Finals, but it is what it is. First of all, do you think the – obviously, you like me and most people, unlike Dustin, thought the Warriors would win this series. Certainly, injuries have changed the situation. Do you believe the Warriors will come back and win the next two?
Yeah, I just think it's hard at this point with how far they're down in the series. I mean, look, they can – they've got that kind of ability. I'm not going to doubt Steph and Clay, and they've gone on the road in some hostile environments and pulled off some improbable things, including against Oklahoma City. But I just think it's too much to ask against this Raptors team that's going to have home court in Game 7 and against Kawhi, who has just been so dominant both offensively and defensively throughout the entire playoffs and has taken his game to a completely different level in this finals. I wish Durant would be healthy so that we could see these two teams basically at full strength against each other. I feel like we've been robbed of that. I think the Warriors would have won had that happened. But I just think it's going to be really, really difficult for them to overcome this. I think they got a huge lift from KD in the previous game that doesn't do it justice when you just look at the scoreboard or the box score. There was so much involved with KD being able to play just a little bit in the game previously.
Yeah, I think the energy they had to start the game in Game 5 was all because of KD. The movement that you saw, his obviously scoring 11 points, which, you know, when you win by one, those 11 were all needed. And then even when he goes down, I mean, they played inspired basketball. It'll be different tonight. They're not going to have him. They're going to have Looney. Their rotation's going to be thin. And listen, these guys have played so many minutes, Chris. So you got to think that at some point, you know, Clay and Steph, more so Steph, they're going to be tired a little bit.
Right. And it's not just the minutes that they've played, Dustin. I think it's the difficulty of the minutes that they've had to play. It's constantly dealing with guys grabbing and holding and pushing and shoving. It's seeing multiple defenders every time you run around a screen or every time you bring the ball up the court. Fred VanVleet or whoever it is from Toronto is hounding you in the backcourt. So that takes a toll, too. It's not just the 38, 40, 42. It's what kind of minutes are those. And I just think so much is asked of both Steph and Clay now, given the situation that they're in. It's just really, really hard, I think, for them to physically sustain what they've been able to do at times throughout the course of this series.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Chris, a lot of people want to blame the Warriors for Durant's injury. I am not one of them. I believe in personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think to blame the Warriors, you always almost have to assume the doctors lied to him. I don't know. What is your take on this situation?
I'm with you, Bull. Look, I think it's a case where the player has to take some responsibility. And yes, I think the team does too, because they always say as a team, you have to protect a player from himself, right? But you're in the NBA finals. You're trying to win another championship. You're going through all of the rehab the way that you are so that you can fight your way back onto the stage. And I just think it's so funny how so many people, like, they talk so much about how these guys play through injury and how they're such warriors for being able to do it and how they're putting the team in front of themselves by going out there and fighting to do it. And then when the result is another significant injury, which is always a possibility in any kind of situation,
right,
then it turns into what it's right now. And I just think, look, KD wanted to play, and I don't blame him for That's wanting right. to play. And I think he was going to do whatever he could to get out there and play. And I don't think the Warriors are the kind of organization that's going to do something nefarious. They protected Klay Thompson from himself in Game 3. Remember that? He wanted to play. He was fighting to play. And they thought it was a bad decision for him to do it. I think the Warriors felt like, okay, we're going to let KD play because we don't think he can re-injure his calf. I don't think they anticipated him tearing his Achilles as a result of maybe overcompensating for what the calf injury was. So I just think it's a bad result. I don't know that the process was flawed. I don't believe the process was flawed. I just think it was a bad result. And sometimes results like this happen in sports.
Hey, Jay Williams today on Get Up, I don't know if you saw this, he said, ultimately, I think this falls on the Golden State Warriors. He got misdiagnosed. And I know for a fact he was told that with a torn calf, a partially torn calf, that it unloaded the pressure on the Achilles and that there was no chance that the Achilles could be injured at all. And I think Jason Williams, I find it hard to believe that doctors would have said to him.
Remember, Jay Williams is close with Kevin.
Okay.
And so is Caron Butler.
Maybe so. But I find it impossible to believe that doctors would say there's no chance you could tear your Achilles. Because how could anybody say that? You never anybody could tear their Achilles at any time.
Right, and the reason why, to me, that doesn't pass the smell test, and yes, Jay Williams knows KD really well, and Caron Butler knows KD really well, but doctors don't talk like that. So that didn't sound like something that a doctor would say. Maybe that was a game of telephone where it was interpreted that way, in this case misinterpreted, but doctors do not speak in absolutes. They don't. And teams in the NBA do not speak in absolutes. It's just not something they do. So to me, that doesn't pass the smell test. That sounds like something was lost in translation there.
I agree with you.
Chris, you think Kyle Lowry will be better tonight? He's been better on the road.
So hard to know what you're going to get from Kyle Lowry on a nightly basis, especially in the playoffs. I mean, I think that's something that we have seen throughout the course of the last couple of years when he was teamed up with DeMar DeRozan. And I think a lot of people felt like, okay, now you're going to take some pressure off of him and he's not going to have to do too much for the Toronto Raptors because Kawhi's there. So maybe it's going to change. But I just think he kind of is who he is. He's an inconsistent type player where offensively, from a scoring standpoint anyway, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get from him on a nightly basis. It's one of the reasons why I decided that I was going to pick the Warriors going into this particular series. And it's kind of played itself out that way. But for the Raptors now, the whole thing is they only have to be great in one game. So could Kyle Lowry be great in this one game where it's going to be enough for them to get over against Golden State? Sure, I guess so. I just wouldn't bank on it because he hasn't proven it on this kind of stage consistently enough.
Chris, what do you make, if anything, of Kyrie Irving changing representation today or yesterday?
I think that was going to happen at some point because Kyrie is interested in things that go beyond basketball. And I think his agent has done a really, really good job negotiating a lot of different things. But if you're Kyrie and you have the agent that you do, or you have an agency, let's say like Roc Nation, who has entertainment backing, who has like an entertainment arm in their agency, and that's something that interests you when it comes to commercials, when it comes to marketing, when it comes to movies with Uncle Drew, when it comes to stuff that goes beyond basketball after your playing career and sometimes during your playing career, I just think it makes more sense for him to be involved with that kind of agency that can probably work with him in a way that his current agent can't, because his current agent just doesn't have the expertise in the different kinds of fields.
You think he's going to Brooklyn?
I don't think it means that he's definitely going to Brooklyn, okay, though, or something like that.
Okay. We're talking with Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Chris, anything new on the Cavs, you know, in terms of what they're thinking about the draft right now?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything new, guys. I think I've been trying to talk to as many people as possible about the fifth overall pick, and I continue to get the same answer. We still have time to figure it out. So I just think it's one of these things where the Cavs, like many other teams, see a big drop-off after the number three prospect, which is R.J. Barrett, and I think it's hard for everybody involved that's between, let's say, five and ten, to put these guys in order. I think one organization would look at it and say, okay, DeAndre Hunter stands out among that group. I think another organization would look at it and say, Cam Reddish stands out among that group because of what his potential could be. And I just think the Cavs are going to take it down as close to the wire as possible to try and figure out, like, who is it at number five that stands out? And I think the problem with the fifth pick is you can talk yourself into all of these guys, yeah, and you can talk yourself out of all of these guys. And if you're going to make a case for DeAndre Hunter, then you're going to make excuses for him and say, well, the reason why he's not as good offensively is because Virginia wouldn't let him be as good offensively. With Jarrett Culver, you're going to make an excuse that he rebuilt his jumper, and that's why his percentages dropped this past year. With Cam Reddish, you're going to say, well, he committed before Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett, and he didn't have the same role that he thought he was going to get when he decided to go to Duke. So that's, to me, the really, really hard thing about the Cavs having this fifth overall pick. I've been told that they are going to get a workout with Virginia's DeAndre Hunter at some point next week before the draft. They don't have a day. They don't have a time scheduled for that, but it is going to happen. And who knows? He could make a lasting impression on them because he's going to get the final workout. But I just think it's really, really difficult right now to figure out who the best option is for the Cavs at number five. I think they're having a hard time figuring it out.
How's Gilbert's health, and how's that going to affect the draft? Will he have any impact on it, or is he just going to let Kobe run it?
Well, I don't think it's going to be the same as it's been in the past in terms of the impact that he's going to have. But the Cavs and Dan Gilbert, the members of the front office and Dan Gilbert, they had conversations when this offseason started with bullet points about things that they wanted to accomplish. There were talks among them and Dan Gilbert before Dan fell ill about what they were thinking in the NBA draft, the kind of approach that they wanted to take in the NBA draft, the aggressiveness that they were expecting to have. And Dan signed off on all of those things. So he was in the loop. He's still in the loop. It's just he's not going to be involved the way that he has been in the past because he physically is not going to be able to. He's still in the hospital. As all of the statements have said, he's got a long way back. This is something that's very, very serious when you're talking about a stroke. He's making good progress and he's able to show his personality, but this is going to be Kobe Altman. This is going to be Mike Gansey. This is going to be John Beilein. This is going to be Lindsey Gottlieb and JB Bickerstaff. Like, those are the people that have been involved in these pre-draft meetings and these dinners with these prospects, because they're the ones that are going to have to spearhead this thing because Dan can't.
Chris, what do you make of Lindsey Gottlieb in that hire?
Well, I think it's a good hire from the standpoint of the Cavs have a plan and they know the things that they're looking for when it comes to people on their coaching staff. I don't know that it's going to work. I don't know that their rebuild is going to work. But they have a plan, and everything that they have done this offseason from a hiring standpoint is all logical. You know, she builds programs. She communicates with 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. That's what the Cavs are all about. She puts a culture in place of accountability and work ethic and toughness and getting more out of the team than what you think can be gotten out of them. So from that standpoint, she has all of the qualities that the Cavs were looking for from the very start of this wide-ranging coaching search. So I think she's going to fit well. And I think if you're wondering about the direction that the Cavs are going in, like, they're telling you right now what it is. It's about culture. It's about player development. It's about It's not about age. It's not about gender. It's not about do you have a relationship with the Cleveland Cavaliers first. It's just about there are certain qualities that they value most in this organization, and she happens to fit those.
And I know,
makes sense.
Yeah, and I know this doesn't matter from a basketball standpoint, Chris, but I love the fact that this sends a great message to young girls in Cleveland that don't let anybody tell you you can't do this. You know what I mean? I love the message that it sends there. I think it's great.
Yeah, and you know what? Lindsay Gottlieb mentioned it on a conference call yesterday, guys, that she recognizes the role that she's going to be placed in, and it goes way beyond just being an assistant coach for John Beilein. It's the things that you mentioned right there, Bull. Yeah. It's the people that are going to look up to her. And she even said, she's like, I can't be bad.
Yeah.
I have to be good.
Right.
So that other people after me are going to get these kinds of jobs and maybe even in the future go from the college ranks as a woman's basketball coach, as a female, and get a head coaching gig instead of just an assistant gig. So she feels that pressure. She feels that responsibility. And I think she also has talked in large part just how much she always wanted to get into the NBA. I mean, I was told that she put an NBA out in her contract with Cal.
Oh, wow.
So that's the kind of thinker that she is. That's the kind of dreamer that she is.
Chris, good to talk to you as always, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.